We have a few prayer requests this morning. First one is continued prayers for Eli, who was in the refinery fire. And then continued prayers for Pastor Joe George in Texas. Prayers for Amanda Morris, who's dealing with migraines. And then pray for the family of Wes Foster. He was also in the refinery fire. His service will be on Thursday at 11 at the Crossway Church in Sulphur.
Thank you. All right, let's take a few moments. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious and almighty God, it's in these moments when we bring our prayer requests to you that we truly find whether or not we can put our full faith and trust in you, because asking for your will to be done isn't always the easiest thing. Because I know how I want things to happen. Sometimes we know how we want things to happen. But ultimately, God, we ask for your will to be done. And we pray that your will brings healing and wholeness and mercy. God, we want to pray for Eli. We want to pray for Pastor George. We want to pray for Amanda. We want to pray for the family of Wes Foster. God, for those that have lost loved ones through disasters or tragedy or just simply a medical issue. God, we lift them up because we don't always like to acknowledge the reality of death, and yet it is a reality. But we also know the truth of resurrection. And so I pray comfort upon those families. I ask that your hand of mercy and wholeness be upon them, that you fill their heart with your love and remind them that you are constantly there. For these that are sick, those that need your prayers, the unspoken requests that maybe someone who's watching this program has but just didn't send it in today, God, we know that you know them, and so we place all of those before you as well. And again, we ask that your will be done. And for ourselves, oh God, we pray that we will continue to keep our eyes focused on you, forgive us of our sins, continue to show us the way that leads to life. And so, Lord, we pray all of these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Oh. And then Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. Yep. And the Heart to Heart Pregnancy Clinic is having a baby bottle boomerang challenge. You contact them, they give you a baby bottle. And you fill it with change, money, checks, or whatever. And then you give it back to them, and your change can help change lives. If you would like to be a part of the Baby Bottle Boomerang Challenge, you can contact them at 580-225-2229. And 243. Yeah. Okay. 580-243-2229. Or you can go by and see them in person at 500 South Lusk right here in Elk City. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barbadoes and Ford Elk City, only at barbadoesandford.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title, Movement.
So, in the first half of the program, we talked a lot about the disciples, how the Holy Spirit got them to move, right? And I told you at the very end that we would talk a little bit in the second half about how do we participate in that movement, right? How do we move from rest to movement? It was interesting, while you were listening to the commercials, we were actually having a discussion in here about that, and it is hard. There's nothing easy about what we're asking, but nobody ever said following Jesus was easy. But that's the reality, is it is easier to keep doing what you're doing. And some, when you are on fire, when you know, take a new Christian, for example, right? They're just blowing and going, right? They can't get enough of it, right? And then as that begins to wane and they slow down, how many we lose in the first year?
Mm-hmm.
That happens. And we have to fight against that. Our members who've been members for, you know, whatever age you are, that have been around the church since they were, you know, babies, sometimes they're on fire and moving, and sometimes they're not. But I wanted to tell you that about how you can participate. And I'm going to tell you a very strange story about a man in his 80s. Man's name was Clyde. I met Clyde when I went to go serve one of the churches that I was privileged to pastor. And we were in a little small church. I actually had two churches at the time. It was my smaller church. I didn't live in the community, so I was probably, you know, 15, 20 miles away. So I came in a couple times a week. And the church was struggling, wouldn't be the right answer. It was they did everything they could with the small number they had. They were a really cool church, but they just weren't poised or positioned really to grow. Community wasn't growing. I mean, just had a lot going against them. And I'd been there probably a year at that point. And one morning, Clyde showed up at church. And I usually just went straight over there. I wasn't married yet, so I got up in the mornings and I just drive over there early. I get there before everybody else and just kind of hang out and, you know. And one morning, I don't know why I did it, but I stopped. I think it was at McDonald's, and I brought a cup of coffee on the way before I left. Well, I got in the line and they actually gave me two. Okay, great. I'll drink them both because I like my coffee. So I took them and I went and I drove to the church. And so I brought them both in. Was sitting, there was kind of a fellowship hall behind the sanctuary there. And I was sitting in this fellowship hall and just, you know, I was probably there 20, 30 minutes early and I'm just drinking my coffee. And Clyde walked in. And Clyde said, "Oh, you're a coffee drinker." I said, "Yeah, I am." He goes, "Well, great." And so I said, "You want, I actually have an extra cup." He's like, "I already had some this morning, but yeah, I'll have a sip of it." So he took a cup. And didn't think a thing of this. All right. Now, you got to know Clyde. Clyde had a big heart, but you got to get through some rocky, jagged edges to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the guy. And so the next Sunday, I got there, and I didn't stop at McDonald's that day. I just got there. And he walks in, he has his thermos of coffee and two cups. So he poured me a cup, him a cup, and we had coffee together before. I said, well, that's sure nice of you. He goes, well, you know what? I drink coffee with you every Sunday. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll start getting here an hour before service. You bring the coffee. Okay? So we did this for a couple of weeks. Clyde and I would just sit and shoot the bull. Actually, during that time, found out that we had been baptized by the same pastor 40 years apart.
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty cool. In fact, I went and looked it up in our roll book, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that guy did baptize you and then baptized me some 40 years later. That was pretty cool. And we had a great time. And then one morning, one of our other ladies showed up a little early. She just got up early and came on, and she's like, oh, you guys are having coffee. Well, we got some extra. You want some? Sure. So she drank some coffee. The next week, she got there early, but she brought something baked, probably a cinnamon roll. She made pastries. And she brought a plate of them. And we had our coffee and we had our pastry. The next Sunday, she brought her daughter. And before you knew it, everybody who went to church was there an hour early. We had our coffee and our breakfast. And it became a place that others could invite to.
Mm.
So we started inviting. We had a couple of groups that met in the church. One particular group was we had a quilting group. And a couple of them went, most of them went to church, but they were, I would say, periphery church people. You kind of know what I mean. Once in a while kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they start inviting them. Why don't you come for breakfast? You don't have to stay for worship. Just come for breakfast. That little church that the first day I walked in, we had six people. And that included the piano player and me. We ended up, my last year there, we ended up having about 16 to 18 people every Sunday having breakfast.
Wow.
And then staying for worship. All because that old man brought me a cup of coffee. Caveat to that story is that about a year after that, after we started that, Clyde passed away. And when I did his service, I started to tell this story. And that next Sunday, I think there were 25 or 30 people showed up for breakfast that morning just to honor him and to honor what he started. You see, that's the movement of the Spirit. Clyde was not the guy who would ever say that, you know, the Holy Spirit led him to do that. That's just not going to be that guy. But it took one cup of coffee to begin to change that church.
Mm-hmm.
One 80-year-old man, one 75-year-old lady who came and started bringing pastry. And it changed everything. That church became a little powerhouse out there. See, that's movement. Everybody had told that church that they should just close. And years later, they had to. A couple of them died. There was reasons. But they weren't ready at that time to do that. It wasn't time for that. It wasn't their season. But you could only talk to your blue in the face about that. You know, you can only say, hey, you've got hope. There's hope for you, blah, blah, blah. Let's get out there. Let's, you know, beat the bushes, all that stuff. You can only say it so many times. But when you see it, when it's authentic, when you start to feel that momentum, right? When the ball starts rolling, it is amazing to see what the Holy Spirit can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as simple as this guy offering me a cup of coffee. Another way that I think is participatory is to be open to do things you're not completely comfortable doing. One of the things that's become more apparent to me, and maybe it's because of where I live, and I live in Oklahoma, where we are slowly but surely becoming a very much more diverse people through immigration, we naturally, because of our first Americans who live here, we already have different races that live side by side in this state and have for years.
Mm-hmm.
We are becoming, people look at us and go, oh, that's just the Wild West. Well, no, there's more going on in Oklahoma than you might know. And one of the things that I still am saddened about, this is an old preacher used to say that 11 o'clock is still the most segregated hour in America. And unfortunately, that's still true.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that hits me is that when I read the Pentecost story, they go out and they start speaking, right? And it says that all these people, and it lists off all these different people from all these different countries and nations, right? And it says they all heard them in their own native language. What gets me is, nowhere does it say, for example, Peter spoke to all of them in one language. It says them. So maybe one of them spoke two or three of them, and somebody else comes and spoke. It took a whole bunch of them to make this happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It took them working together
mm-hmm.
to make this happen, right? And I was at my conference the other week ago, and our bishop, our Episcopal leader, said something that really hit me. He said, when you want to see the movement of the Spirit, when the clergy love their church, the congregation, and when the congregation truly loves their clergy, and when they together love their community, the Spirit rolls. That's how it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this firsthand one time when I went to Mexico. We were getting ready to finish our mission project. We were building a little house, a little casita. And the neighborhood kids and the neighborhood family that had been there, they all joined us. And there was a room not much bigger than this one. But we stuffed in there, right? And we're trying to find some way to close this time out. And so, we're Christian people. You should close in prayer. It's a good idea, right? But how are we going to do that? You had some English speakers and some Spanish speakers. How are we going to do that? And I was fortunate. I was studying Spanish at the time, so I had a Bible in Spanish. And I turned to the only thing I thought we could do together, and I turned to the Lord's Prayer. But what was cool about that trip, and what was neat about that moment, was that as I began to pray the Our Father, Nuestro Padre, El Señor, the English speakers started speaking it. Our Father who art in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish speakers started speaking it. And I had forgotten, but on that trip, we actually had a German foreign exchange student who came with us to the trip, who started praying it in German. And we all spoke, and we all knew where we were. I didn't understand every word. I get the gist because I know the Lord's Prayer, but it didn't matter. The Spirit was thick. See, when the Spirit moves, one of the things we tell people in ministry, and sometimes I think we give it lip service, but it really is true. The Spirit truly does equip the called.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples, they didn't know how they were going to accomplish that. They don't speak all these languages. How are we going to take this to the ends of the earth? But they do. We know that most of these disciples went off to be missionaries all over the world. Thomas goes as far as India, right? We know that Philip meets that Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and the Ethiopian eunuch takes it back to Ethiopia, which, by the way, per capita is still the most Christian nation in the world today.
Oh, wow.
Today is still the most Christian nation in the world because of that interaction between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. These things matter. Do I think they knew that was going to happen at that moment? No. Do I think they knew how it was all going to turn out? No. But when the movement started, they moved with it. They paid attention to the moment, and they went with it. See, I think as tough as it is right now in the church, and I in the first half, I remember I tried to spell it out how hard I think it is for the church right now. And I do think it's hard. But I also think that provides opportunity. I think sometimes with great difficulty, there's the opportunity for great opportunity. And I think that's maybe where we are. You see, I think there are people that are hungry for the gospel. I think there are opportunities for us in the church to do things differently. What if we simply follow the Spirit's lead? And instead of fighting because of our differences, we embraced our differences. So you voted for that guy and that gal, and I voted for this guy and that gal. And yet, we are unified in Christ. You know what? You and I might have a disagreement on this particular political issue, or maybe we have a disagreement on how, you know, what color of the carpet we're going to put in the new sanctuary. We might have all kinds of disagreements. But what if we showed the world that we can still be friends?
Right.
That we can still be united because of Christ and still hold our own opinions. I mean, we're not, I'm certainly not the guy that's not going to be opinionated. Right? But what if we modeled that? What if we modeled that just because we disagree, we don't have to be enemies? And before you think that's a novel concept, before you think, golly, we would be awfully smart, there was this really cool Jewish rabbi who one day taught his disciples and said, you should love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Good guy, by the way. Jesus. good guy. Pretty smart. You see, if we would just embrace those principles, that would get us moving again. If we didn't give lip service to love God and love one another, if we actually did it. And again, loving one another is not easy. People can flat take you off. They can get on your nerves. People can do things that are harmful to you. Those things are real. Let's not act like everybody is perfect, because we certainly know they're not. I'm not. But what if we looked at that differently and decided that we're going to love one another even when it's hard? What if we decided we'd love God even when it's hard? You see, I think that movement not only changes our lives, but I think it changes a whole bunch of lives. In fact, I think that's world-changing. I think that is life-changing change. That's movement. That's when the church goes from on-the-side spectator 1 hour a week. In our buildings, you come to us. We stay in our four walls. If you want to know, you come here. When the church stops that, that's rest, by the way.
Right.
When we say, nope, we're going outside these doors, and we're gonna meet people where they are. We're gonna do everything possible. We're gonna speak their language. We're gonna embrace them. We don't always have to agree with everything, but by gosh, we're going to be amongst them. Because when I look at Jesus, that's where he was. He went to leper colonies, and he went to Galilee, and I mean, he went all these different places, right? And he met all these incredibly strange people, some of which didn't like him very much.
Right.
A couple of them tried to kill him two or three times. But that's what movement's about. Is movement risky? Yes. It is. Is it worth it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely it is. The church staying at rest does no good for the church and does no good for the world it's been asked to serve. Remember, I mentioned the primary task of the church. The primary task of the church is no different than the task given to those disciples, and that is to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to fulfill that, that says, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth. That is the primary mission and task of the church. We cannot do that in isolation, and we cannot do that in our own four walls, and we cannot continue to do that with judgment and hatred, and if you're not us, you know, sorry to be you. That can't be us anymore. We have been at rest long enough. We have absolutely fulfilled the first law of thermodynamics. Things at rest tend to stay at rest. But the church was birthed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a catalyst. And that catalyst is a catalyst for movement. So if we are going to be who we really are, who we were really called to be, then that involves movement, not isolation. And it also means that we do it together. You know, one of the things that I'm often proud of, and I do say this a lot. I've been in a lot of communities now. I've been privileged to serve all over the state of Oklahoma, and I believe in things like ministerial alliances and stuff. That's part of my nature. Until I got here, they've always been okay. But I'm very proud of the one we have here in town. I'm proud because we have our disagreements. Of course we do. We have differences. That's okay. But when it comes down to it, we pray for one another, and we pray that the gospel, especially here in Elk City, Western Oklahoma, we pray for each other that, that somewhere, somehow, someone gets touched by the Lord. That's our number one focus. And I think that's what changes. That's the movement the Spirit is asking for. You know, when I come here, I come here, you know, every month, and I hear the different radio spots for different churches, and I know our church has had a radio spot at times, you know, and all that stuff. I thank God for those people, for all of them. Some of us are going to reach some of us aren't going to reach some. Some are going to reach others that I'm not going to reach. I'm going to reach some that they're not going to reach. We need each other. We need one another. That's movement. Isolation says, I only want my people to do my thing in my area, in my space, the way I want. That's not movement. That's the very opposite of movement. And I don't think that's what the Spirit calls us to.
Nope.
I think the Spirit says it's time to get off and stop resting, church. It's time to move. The world is desperate for some spiritual movement. And you are the catalyst, and you are the bearers of that movement. And so, for me, that's how we get engaged. That's our call. That's our mission. And just like those early disciples who stepped out of that room and started speaking other languages, and people got converted, and all kinds of cool stuff happened in the book of Acts, by the way. If you haven't read the book of Acts, I highly recommend it. It's a great book. But all that happens because they decided to participate in the movement. I hope we participate in the movement. Because when we do, all I can say is, come, Holy Spirit, come.
Yes.
Renew the face of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Hey.
What?
Hey.
Yeah. What?
Hey.
You're touching me.
Do you still love me?
Of course.
Okay.
Why?
See? Just because. Hey.
Oh, you're annoying. Yeah, I get you. Look at her. Look at her. You're not kidding.
Even the ones that
Yeah, even the ones that can get on, like, oh, like yeah. What are you doing?
Even the ones that sometimes annoy us the most, maybe that's the one that God wants you to talk to and hug. Because maybe, just maybe, they're hungry and don't know what they're hungry for. Mm-hmm. So when someone says, hey, hey, it starts to annoy you.
No, you're exactly right. I think the Lord puts people in our path. And I don't know that everybody he's ever put in our path are the people we want.
Right.
But we might not be those people for somebody else. Right. So yeah, you have to look at it both ways. But the reality is, you'll never look upon the face of someone that God doesn't love.
That's right.
And that has to be, that has to be part of our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, that's movement too, because that's not natural necessarily, but it is the truth. Anyway, that's funny. I was like, what are you doing? I got you now. That's funny.
Would you, before we close out, would you like to give information about your church?
Sure. Sure. So I currently pastor with a pastoral staff. We are at Elk City United Methodist Church at 720 West Country Club. We have a traditional service at 9 a.m. and a Sunday school at 10, and then a contemporary service at 11. And we also pastor at Eric United Methodist Church in Eric and at Chapel Hill United Methodist, which is south of Clinton. So we have a group of us that do it. We affectionately call it the Hub. And so we take care of the Hub churches, the three of us do. So pretty powerful, great church, great people. Busy summer. We've got our mission trip coming up and then our big VBS in July. So so it'll be awesome. But thank you for letting me do that.
Oh, that was a good word today. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, from my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and from Pastor Scott Rogers. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.